We're on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. After wishing everyone a Chag Sameach, 10 lines up from the bottom, and you'll see at the end of that line, Toshma. We'll start from D'Yomar Rav Safra Rav Chiya. Let's just review what the Gemara is analyzing. We know that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, the Chachamim Shita is that you're not allowed to leave food, even food that's partially cooked, on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. That means not inside the Kira and not even on top of the Kira. However, the Gemara questions whether or not you're allowed to do smicha and place the pot smack up against the bottom of the Kira on the outside. And the Gemara tried to bring a proof from a Braisa, and the Gemara says that proof from the Braisa is not accurate because there the pot was placed high up, and therefore there was air coming in, cooling it off. So therefore we could be more lenient in the case of smicha when there's air. But when we have a pot that is smack up against the outer wall of the kira on the bottom, and it's not suspended in air, there's no cold air coming in, the pot is now being heated directly by the outer wall of the kira. Maybe that's asur. Toshma, Diomar Rav Safra Amar Rav Chiya, Kitama Vinislabsa. We're going to have a lot of discussion about the case where he places the ashes on top of the coals, but then the fire becomes active again. So that although the afer, the ashes, are meant to calm down the fire and cool things off, and that's called a katum, but nevertheless, sometimes it doesn't do the job, and the fire shoots up. And Rav Safra says, in such a case, somchim la, we're going to allow you to put a pot smack up against the outside wall of the kira, umekaymin olea, and we could put food on top of the kira, and notli mimena umachzirin la. We're allowed to take the pot away and put it back on Shabbos. Shmamina lismoch nami. It would seem that Rav Safra was lenient with regard to lismoch because he said somchin la, but only because he had already put the ashes on top of the fire inside the kira. Ktama in. Why did he permit smicha? Because he had done and he had converted this oven, this stove, into a ketuma. But lo ketuma lo. He would not have permitted smicha if not for the fact that he had made it into a katum. So the Gemara asks, ulitaymeich, if your reasoning is correct, notli mimena dektani. What does it mean that Rav Safra says that you're allowed to take the pot away and remove it? Ktama in, lo ktama lo. Only because he made it into a katum and he sprinkled the ashes on top of the coals, therefore he's allowed to take the pot away? That's impossible. You're always allowed to take the pot away. There was no point in Rav Safra telling us notlim. So the word notlim imenu, that phrase, is completely meaningless. Ella, but you have no choice, but rather tana notlim mishum machzirin. That the word notlim is just an introduction and forms a phrase with the word machzirin, which means you're allowed to take it off in order to put it back in. It's hochanami, using that literary analysis of the language of Rav Safra, We should apply the same reasoning, and Tana somchim mishum mekayimin, that the word somchim is just an introduction to mekayimim. In other words, he wasn't telling us that the heter, the leniency of smicha, is only if it's katum. It could be very possible that he would allow smicha even if it wasn't a katum. He only mentions smicha in this context as an introduction to mekayimin. Mekayimin means that we're allowed to keep the food inside the kira or on top of the kira, and that's because it's a katum. But as far as smicha is concerned, it could be that smicha is permissible independent of katum. So the word somchin here, which seems to imply that we can only allow smicha conditional on the fact that it is a katum, he already did the ashes on top, that's not so. The word smicha here is only an introduction to mekayimin, to tell you that you're allowed to keep food on the kira because he did the act of ktima, of being making it into a katum. So Gemara says, no, this literary analysis of yours is not accurate. Hachi hashta, let's see the difference over here. Hasam over there, notlin umachzir bechad makom hu. You can tell me and convince me that the word notlim is an introduction to the word machzirin, because he's just telling you take it off and put it back on. So the word notlin, taking it off, is only an introduction to putting it back on. So therefore, Tana notli mishum machzirin. Aval ha elahachem, but here in the case of somchin, is somchin bechad makom hu mekayim bechad makom. Somchin means to put it on the outside of the exterior wall. Mekayim means to keep it on top of the fire, on top of the stove. So it doesn't make sense to assume that somchin is just an introduction to mekayim. We have to take somchin as a separate, independent, serious halachic ruling to tell you that smicha is mutter here, and mekayimim is mutter, and both are mutter conditional on the fact that he made it into a katum because he had sprinkled the ashes on top of the fire. But other than that, if it wasn't a katum, you would not be allowed to do smicha. My haviyallah. Do we have a final conclusion? The Gemara wants to know. Toshma. And the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Kira shi sikua begefes uvietzim. So we're talking about real coals. You remember, if you can, that gefes are the you take it from the pulp of certain fruits and wood, which become coals. Is the brisa says somchin la. You're allowed to do smicha on the outside. Put your pot smack up against the exterior wall of the oven. The ein mekayimin. But you're not allowed to put the pot on top of the kira. Elim kein gufo uktuma. Unless you've made it into a gar for a katum. So it would seem here, from this brisa, that you're allowed to do smicha even if it's not a garuf and a katum, because, well, it depends how you read the brisa. If you read it in one breath, somchin la v'ein mekayimin elim kein gufa ketuma. No, that doesn't make sense. It makes a lot more sense to read it as somchin la. You're allowed to do smicha, but that's only on the outside. But if you want to put it on top of the kira, directly on top of the fire, then the condition is it has to be a garuf and katum. But smicha per se would be permissible, even if it's not a garuf katum. Then the brisa continues, gecholim sha'amamu, if the coals are beginning the process of cooling off, oshenasan ale na'oros shel pishton daka, so this is another method of making the kira into a katum. Instead of putting ashes on top of the coals, he puts flax or chaffs of flax on top of the coals, harei ktuma, and that makes it into a ktuma. But it would seem that the brisa permits smicha even though it's not a goruf nor a kotu. And that seems to be the way it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to do smicha on a kira, even if the kira is an eino goruf and an eino kotu. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachmani, Omer Rav Oshia, Kitama Vehuvara. He put the ashes on top of the kira, and now the flame shoots up from the coals, which basically neutralizes the katum, as if it wasn't katum. Is mashim alea chamin shehuchmu kol tsarkon vitavshil shebishel kol tsarkon. Now let's understand what's going on here. There are three basic stages of bishul. The first stage is what we called kimeichel ben josoi. It's edible, but it's far from cooked. Maybe it's halfway cooked. The next stage is called bishul kol tsarko. It's fully cooked, but it's mitztamek v'yafalo. And this you'll see on the top of Lamed Zayin Amid Bey. Shmamino mitztamek v'yafalo mutter. What is mitztamek v'yafalo? So if you'll speak to the chefs, they'll tell you that gourmet cooking sometimes, I remember I once ate in a fancy restaurant, there was gourmet cooking, and like I looked at the plate and I said, why don't they put some food on the plate? But there was food on the plate, but it just shrivels up after a period of time. But it's mitztamek, although it shrivels, yafalo. It improves the cooking and the taste. Now again, if you were serving a bunch of guests, that's not what you want. You don't want mitztamek. You know, you don't want it to be shriveled up. You know, that's not the time for showing off your gourmet cooking. But assuming you're eating alone, and you want some very fancy cooking, so the chef will tell you that even though it's fully cooked, I'm going to leave it on the fire. And it's going to get even better and better. Like a classic case for Ashkenazic Jews would be cholent, right? The longer you leave on the cholent, the better it tastes. Or so some would claim. So that's called mitztamek v'yafalo. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak says that you're allowed to leave a pot of cholent, let's call it, which is mitztamek v'yafalo, on an open flame. And we would have thought that since the bishul, the continuous bishul, is beneficial for the cholent, he should not allow that. But the Gemara says, Shmami, no, we see something very important from Rav Oshia, and that is mitztamek v'yafalo mutter. You're allowed to keep a cholent on an open fire. So imagine your cholent reaches the stage of complete bishul on Erev Shabbos, leave it on an open flame, going into Shabbos. Why? Because it's completely cooked, even though the continuous process of cooking would only improve your product, your tavshi. So shmami no, mitztamek v'yafalo mutter. So we're going now like chachamim. Chachamim, according against Hananya, hold that you're not allowed to leave a pot, even though it's Michael ben Josai in an open fire, that's not a kotum, not a goruf, on Erev Shabbos. And Shehiya is prohibited. However, if it's fully cooked, even though the continuous process of cooking is beneficial, then you're allowed to leave it on an open fire. That's what we're learning from Rav Oshia. The Gemara says, no. You can't learn that, derive that from Rav Oshia. Shaini hocha diktama. He went ahead and he put the ashes on the fire. That's what Rav Oshia is talking about. Then he allows you, in the case of fully cooked food, to leave it on the fire. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi my lememra." If you're telling me it's a katum, so why does Rav Oshia have to tell me that it's fully cooked? In fact, even if it wasn't fully cooked, it reached kemeichel ben josoi, that would be permissible because it's a katum. So Gemara answers, "Huvara itztrichle." The fact that he put ashes on top of the coals, that's ancient history, because since then the fire started shooting up. Maldetem, I would think, Keva de Huvara. Since the fire is active again, Hadrale, it goes back, Lemilsa, to its state, Kamaisa, its original state. And that would mean it's an Eino Kotum. Comes along Rav Hoshi and says, no, it's a Kotum, but it's not really a Kotum. It's in that twilight zone. Kamashma, Rav Hoshi wants to tell us that although in a normal case I would consider this an Eino Kotum, and I would not allow you to leave on this fire even something that's fully cooked, because it's beneficial to continue its cooking, its stomach v'yofalo. Here I'm going to allow it. Why? Because it does have some element of katum. He did the act of putting the afer on top of the coals, and therefore he's going to remind himself not to poke the flames, not to stir the coals. And if it's already mavushal kol tzarko, it's fully cooked, then we're going to allow it on this kira, which is in that middle state. It's chatum, but it's not chatum because chazra v'huvara. Omar Rabba bar Barbachon Rab Yochanan k'toma v'huvara. If he put the ashes and then the flame became active, mashin olea, you're allowed to leave on this open fire chamin shehuchmu called sarkon v'tavshil shebishel called sarkon. You're allowed to leave liquids that are fully cooked, and even solids that are fully cooked. Afilu gecholm shel rosem. Rosem is a kind of wood that increases its heat and it becomes coals. It's possible that you look at these coals and you think they're completely extinguished, but the truth is that still some sort of a very active heat that's below the surface, that's called rosem, gechom shel rosem. And even in this case where there's more of a suspicion that he might poke the flames, we're allowed to leave it because A, we have the first condition that he did the maisa ketima, he put the ashes on even though now the fire is active, and B, it's already fully cooked. If you have those two conditions, then Rabbi Yochanan will permit you to leave your pot that's fully cooked on an open fire. You did the act of ketima, and even if it's gecholim shel rosem, shmami no, we see mitztamek v'yofalo mutter. Shall we derive here from this Rabbi Yochanan, this tradition, that even if the food continues to improve, nevertheless, you're allowed to leave it on an open fire because it's fully cooked? Nein. Shani hocha, this is different. To ketoma, because he did the act of ketima. Ihochi mai lememra. Why do I need Rabbi Yochanan? If you tell me it's fully cooked and it's a katum, then for sure you're allowed to leave it. You're allowed to leave even if it's not fully cooked, if it's katum. Nein. Huvarai tzrichle. It's not really katum. It's quasi-katum, because although he did the act of putting the afer there, but now the fire has shot through the coals, through the afer. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Hach, basically, Rabbi Yochanan is just repeating that which we saw from Rav Oshia, and the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan is just adding that one little piece of the puzzle, and that's Gecholm Shel Rosem Itzrichle. He needs to tell us that even in the case of Rosem, as we said before, those are very active and hot coals, because of the nature of the wood, nevertheless it's Mutter, again because the two conditions that were met. Number one, it's tavshil amavushal called sarko, it's fully cooked. And number two, he did the act of ketima. And even though it's huvara, nevertheless, both Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshu came before Rav Yochanan, permit leaving the pot that's fully cooked on this open fire because he did the act of ketima, even though now it's the flame is shooting up. Now, it would seem that for sure Rabbi Yochanan accepts the Chachomim of Chananya, because again, Chananya would have allowed you to leave a pot that reached Kemaychel ben Josoy in an open flame without Gruf and Ektuma. Rabbi Yochanan here, in this tradition, is only permitting you to leave your pot on an Eino Garav, the Eino Kata, because you did the act of Ketima, and number two, it's Mevushal called Sarko. And now the Gemara is going to quote Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yochanan, a whole different transmission of Rav Yochanan. And now Rav Yochanan would seem to have accepted the sheet of the Chachamim. Kira she'sikua begefesh uve'etzim. So he's got a real stove with coals in it. Mashin oleh on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to leave on this open fire. Chamin shelo huchmu called tzarko, v'tav shelo bishul called tzarko. Food that's partially cooked, even though it's not totally cooked. However, if you want to put it back on Shabbos, Akari took it off. Lo yachzir at sheyigrof o at sheyiten efer. Here, he needs a garuf for katum in order to allow him to put the pot back on. Now again, let's not misunderstand. Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean to say that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. For sure you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. But he means to say that if you want to allow yourself not only to leave the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, but to return the fire on Shabbos, then on Erev Shabbos you have to guarantee that it's a garuf for katum. So if you're only interested in Shehiyah, you want to leave it on the fire and then you'll take it off the fire on Shabbos morning for lunch. You don't need a garuf for katum. You can leave it on an open fire. Why? Because it reached a minimum state of bishul on Erev Shabbos. That's called kemaychol ben shosoy. However, if you want to allow yourself not only to leave it on the open fire for Shabbos lunch, but you want to be able to take stuff out of the pot Friday night for the Friday night meal, put the balance of the pot and all the food that's in it on top of the kira in order to have it hot for Shabbos morning, then the condition is that going into Shabbos, you had a garuf or a katum. Is kasover masnisin lahachzir tnan. Rabbi Yochanan, the way he's quoted here by Rav Sheshes, holds that our Mishnah that says lo yitain means lo yachzir, that you need a garuf for katum in order to put it back on Shabbos. But as far as shehi on Erev Shabbos is concerned, we accept the sheet of Chananya, avolishos mashin afal pisha enu garuf enu katum. You're allowed to leave your pot that's partially cooked on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, and that's the Heter Shehiyah. And you should know that Rashi and Tosfos both agree that we paskin like Chananya against the Chachamim, based on the fact that Rabbi Yochanan, in this version at least, of Rav Sheshes, accepted the Shita of Chacham. Omar Rav, Travayu Taninu. The truth is that both halachas that you've derived from a statement of Rabbi Yochanan are in the Mishnah. Number one, lishos, tnina. We learned that you're allowed to do shehiyah from a Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? This Mishnah is back on Daf Yud Tes with regard to putting dough into an oven on Erev Shabbos, and the baking process will take place on Shabbos itself. Ain nosin es hapas b'toch hatanur im chashecho. You're not allowed to put a dough on Erev Shabbos when it's getting dark into the oven. V'lo charor al gabi gechol. They used to have some sort of a cookie that they would barbecue on coals. Ela kedei sheyikru panel. Unless the minimum amount of afia, the shear of afia, which is called krimas pas b'tanur, that there is some sort of a crust formed on the outside of the dough, has already been achieved on Erev Shabbos. Now, krimas pas b'tanur, in the case of afia, is exactly parallel to kemaychol ben shosoy in the case of bishul. And now what do we see, says Rava, from this Mishnah, ha'karmu paneah. If you allow yourself, let's say 15 minutes, I don't know, I'm just, let's say 5 minutes before nightfall at Erev Shabbos, when you put the dough in, and during that 5-minute period, the oven is so hot that the outside crust layer on top of the dough is going to form, shari, you're allowed to do so. That's exactly parallel to a kemaychol ben shosoy on a kira that's an eino garuf eino katum. Okay, so that's Chiddush number one. So we have a Mishnah that seems to reflect the Sheet of Chananya, that Shehiyah is mutar on an Eino Garuf, Eino Katum, as long as it reached Kemaychol Ben Shosoy. So Rabbi Yochanan is just repeating what we know from a Mishnah. Not only that, Lahachzir Nami Tanina. that the permissibility of replacing your pot onto the fire on Shabbos is conditional on the fact that you made it into a garif akatu. And that's our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel allowed you to put back the pot onto the kira on Shabbos. Be adkan lo kasher Beis Hillel begufa uktuma. But the Mishnah says that lo yitain, you're not allowed to put it back on the fire until unless it is a garfakatu. Avashena grufa ktuma lo. But you would not be allowed to replace your pot onto an open fire that's not a garfakatum on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara says, okay. So you found sources for this in two different Mishnahs. Rav Sheshes Nami Tiyukin Masnisik Omashmalon. Rav Sheshes wants to make sure that we could learn and interpret these Mishnahs properly. There's nothing here really explicit in the Mishnah. We were only being medayik. We derived by implication that if it would have been, you know, primas pas betanur on Erev Shabbos, then it would be mutar and eino garf eino katum. And we derived from the Mishnah that Beis Hillel would only allow chazara if it's a garf or katum. And as I said before, Rashi and Tos seem to derive from this whole presentation of Rav Sheshes in the name of Rav Yochanan and Rav Zdiuk from two Mishnayos that this is the halacha. If you want to leave your pot in an open fire and have Shabbos, it's fine, as long as it reached Kemaychel ben Josoi. You want to put it back on the fire, that's a no-no, unless it was a Gorf or Kotum on Erev Shabbos. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Yudom Rav Yochanan, and now we have another version of Rabbi Yochanan. A lot of different quotes of Rabbi Yochanan. Kira she sikua begefes veitzim mashin ole tavshil sheb bishol kol tzarka v'chamin sheuchmu kol tzarkan v'afilu mitztamik v'yofel lo. So we're talking about a situation of coals, and it's an eno gara v'eno katum, and the only scenario in which Rabbi Yochanan would allow you to leave your food on this open fire is only if it had reached fully cooked on Erev Shabbos. Now Rabbi Yochanan seems to assume, like the Chachamim against Chananya, that you cannot leave a partially cooked pot of food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. Shehi is also if it's an Eino Garf Eino Kotum, unless it was Bishal called Sarka. And now we have a big chiddush that even according to the Chachamim, who reject Chananya and require a Garf a Kotum, that's only because it's not fully cooked. If it's fully cooked, even though the continuous process of cooking is beneficial for the food, which is called Mitztamik V'yofalo, then it's permissible. Amalei Ahubi Rabbanel Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda HaRav Ushmuel Diami Travayu Mitztamek V'yofalo Asur. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda had quoted Rav Yochanan saying that if it's Mitztamek V'yofalo, it's mutar, even on an Eino Garf Eino Kotu, because it's fully cooked. But Rav and Shmuel both agree that Mitztamek V'yofalo is Asur, that the only time you're allowed to leave food on an open fire is if it's Mitztamek V'ralo. You know, you have a situation where the food, if you leave it on the fire too long, not only does it shrivel up, like water, for example. Water is always considered mitztamik v'ralo because it evaporates. And most foods, if you leave it on too long, as you and I know, they get spoiled. Amalei atu les ana yada. So Rab Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, What are you? You're holding me guilty for a quote from Rav and Shmuel. The Omer Rav Yosi from Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. Mitznamik v'yofalo asur. I don't know anything about that. Kika minalach. What I was trying to transmit was the Rav Yochanan kamin. I was telling you Rav Yochanan shita, and Rav Yochanan shita is that mitznamik v'yofalo is mutter. Why? Because it's completely cooked, and we're not afraid that he's going to poke the fire in order to get that additional benefit of mitztamek v'yofalo. But again, now Rabbi Yochanan in this tradition is maintaining like Chachamim of Chananya, And we're not going to allow you to leave a pot of food that's kemaychel ben Josiah on an open fire unless it's a garfik katub. But if it's completely cooked, despite the fact that it's mitzdamik v'yofalo, it is mutter. Amalei Rav Ukva mi Mishan. Mishan is the name of a place. L'Ravashi. Atun. Oh. Now here the Gemara is going to introduce the following principle. That there's something called minagam makom. Atun you, demakarvitu l'Rav Shmuel. You live in those areas where Rav and Shmuel are the final decisors. Is avidu k'Rav Shmuel. You have to follow their ruling, and therefore even if it's a situation of mitztamek v'yofalo, it's asur, if it's an eino garf, eino kotum anan, but we live under the tutelage of Rabbi Yochanan, navid ki Rabbi Yochanan, we will implement the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore on an eino garf, eino kotum, we're going to allow shehiya in the case of mitztamek v'yofalo. Again, Rabosai, I just want to emphasize over and over again that this is all a second tradition in Rabbi Yochanan. The previous tradition, Rabbi Yochanan, paskin like the sheet of Chananya against the Chachamim, that even if it's Kemaychel ben Josiah and it's not fully cooked, you're allowed to leave it on an open fire. Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef, ma'u lishos. What's the final halacha on Shehiyah? On Erev Shabbos, in an Eino Goruf, Eino Katuf, are you allowed to leave food that's partially cooked on an open fire on Erev Shabbos? On Malay, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Mashi Levi Achil. Rabbi Yehuda, I saw with my own eyes, would leave food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos and eat it on Shabbos. On Malay, Sabai responds, Barmine, leave that out to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not a proof. Why? Came on this the Mesukan who Rabbi Yehuda was an old, very fragile, and very in a very dangerous situation health wise. Is since he's a Mesukan, afilu b'Shabbos nami shari lemevedle. We'd be allowed to cook food for him even on Shabbos. That's called v'chai bohem. But leave a lachmai. I would like to know, what about people like you and me? If we were healthy, are we allowed to leave food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos? On Malay, Bisura Mashu, in an area of Babylonia which is called Sura, they allowed it. And again, this would support the final conclusion that we pass in like Chananya, Doha Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mori Di Uvda Havi. In other words, he's someone that you could rely on. Mori de Uvda means he's very careful, meticulous about everything he does. Umashile, and yet he would leave the food that was partially cooked on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. V'yochel, and he would eat it on Shabbos. Omer Rav Ashi, ka'im no kamid Rav Huna. I was in the presence of Rav Huna, v'shoyen le, and they left a kind of a fish mixture, which is called kasa de daharsana. This is a fish that is cooked with flour. It's a sugi also in brachos and ketzah mevarchim, what bracha you make on it. The achil. So he left it on an eno garf eno katum, and he ate it on Shabbos. The lo yadinon. And I'm not sure. Imishum de kasar mitztamik v'yafalo. It could be that this fish dish was completely cooked on Erev Shabbos. Although its continuous process of cooking would improve it as a kind of a gourmet cooking, and yet it's mutter on an enu garf enu kotter, but only because it's called sarko, it's already been cooked. Imishum de kevin de isbe micha mitztamik v'ralo. It could be that mitztamik v'yofalof would improve the cooking, then it would be permissible. The only reason why Rav Huna was matir was because there was flour, and once it's this flour mixed in with the fish, then it's a bad thing. It's detrimental if you keep it cooking. Omar Rav Nachman, mitztamek v'yofalo asur, mitztamek v'ralo mutter. So it seems for Rav Nachman that he paskins like the Chachamim of Chananya. And in the case of of Kemaychel Men Josai on an Eino Garf Eino Katuv be Asur, but he allows you to leave it on an Eino Garf Eino Katuv if it's fully cooked, even though the continuous process of cooking is beneficial. Klal de Milsa, and if you want to apply this to different foods and figure out whether it's beneficial to continue the cooking process or it's detrimental, then the principle is called the Ispe Micha. If there's a mixture of flour, is mitztamek v'ralo. As a general rule, it will get worse if you leave it cooking. Labar mitavshil delifta. Okay, now we're going to come up with a certain dish that has many different ingredients to it, and one of those ingredients is flour. And the question is, what could make it mitztamek v'yafalo, even if it has a mixture of flour? So number one, tavshil delifta, lefes in English are called turnips. Turnips take a long time to cook. The afagav de ispe micha, even though you add flour to this mixture, but nevertheless, mitztamek v'yafalo, it really has to continue cooking. Vani mili d'ispe b'sara, but only if this mixture, this concoction, has three elements to it. Number one, it's got turnips. Number two, it has flour. And number three, it has meat. So it's a fleshika, mezainistika, turnip cook, a dish. And in such a case, mitztamek, it's mitztamek v'yafalo. Avalespe bisra, if it doesn't have any mixture of meat in it, even though it's got turnips, nevertheless, mitztamek v'ralohu. And therefore you're allowed to leave it on an open fire. V'chi isbe bisra nami, he says the following, this whole discussion about mitztamek v'yafalo, for example, in the case of turnips, with flour but meat in it, side of it, that's only because he's eating it for his family. But ki ispe bisaranami, even if you have all these conditions that would make it into mitztamek v'yafalo, you've got the meat and the turnips and the flour and everything together. Lo amar, when do we want to be more careful and strict about it? De lo kaboy liorchim, he's not feeding his guests. Aval kaboy liorchim, if he wants to feed his guests, it's mitztamek v'ralo. It's not a good thing. Forget about being a gourmet cook. You know, you want to feed your orchim, you need, we call it in Yiddish, zaftik, you know, fat pieces of food, you know, that they can fill their bellies with. You know, these are not for mefunakim. The Gemara says, lafta dice of etamre mitztamek v'ralo. If you mix the following three elements, it's got figs, it's got some sort of a hot cereal in it, and dates, then the longer you keep it on the fire, the worse it gets. And that's even true for your own flame. So Rabosa, if we want to take a course in chef, we don't have to go to chef school. All we have to do is learn Shabbos Daf, Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. Boy, me name me Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Okay, we're starting a brand new sugya, my friends. I mean, not brand new. It's a hemshek of everything we've discussed. But we're now on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, and we're going to talk now about someone who violated the law of Shehiyah. And he left on the fire accidentally something which he shouldn't have left on an open fire, and it cooked on Shabbos. So you're allowed to eat that cooking. We have a principle called Maisa Shabbos. And again, if I had a whiteboard, I would write that on the board, because that's what this whole discussion is about, called Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos means that if you cook something on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. Again, there are many, many different nuances of halachas and conditions and regulations, but the general rule is we don't eat the product of a violation of Shabbos if it was cooked on Shabbos. But here is a case of Shochach Keder al Gabi Kiro Ubishla B'Shabbos Ma'u. What's the law? There are two pluses here. Number one, it was Shochach. We don't have to penalize someone who forgot. It was inadvertent and non-intentional. Number two, he left it there on Erev Shabbos. We're not talking about a person who did an act of Bishul and violated Melech HaShabbos. And when this question came up to Rav Chiya, Ishtik, he was really perplexed. V'lo amalu lo midi, he couldn't give a response. Lo machar, however, he thought about it overnight. Nafaki goes out. Darashlu, and he tells him, I'll tell you what the law is. Hamavashel b'shabes b'shogeg yochal. Ubemezid lo yochal. That the Iser of Maisa Shabbos, of benefiting from cooking on Shabbos, is only in a case of Mezid, not in a case of Shogeg. Veloshna. And it matters not whether he cooked on Shabbos unintentionally or he left his pot by accident on an open fire before Shabbos. Now you and I would have said, why did he have to add this? I mean, there's a kal v'chomer here. If you did an act of bishul on Shabbos, still you don't have to, you don't prohibit the tavshil. Why? Because the cooking was done b'shogeg. How much more so if he just put it on Erev Shabbos? But as we go through the sugya, the Gemara is going to raise a svara that maybe we should be more machmir dafka for someone who violates Shehiya on Erev Shabbos. And Rav Chiya is telling you that he rejects that. That just like if you cooked on Shabbos b'shog, you're allowed to eat the product of that cooking, so too if you left a pot on an open fire because you forgot about it, you're allowed to eat the cooking. And again, this sugya seems to be based on the Chachamim of Chananya, because Chananya would allow you, if it was partially cooked, to leave it on an open fire. Okay. Now, Veloshna. Now, Veloshna could mean one of two things. Loshna means that Shehiya is equal to the case of Mezid, or Loshna could mean that Shehiya is equal to the case of Shogeg. So, my Veloshna, how do you interpret those words, Veloshna? Rabbi Rav Yosef Yami Shavai Lehetera. Rabbi and Rav Yosef both agree that where Rav Chiya was implying was that you're allowed to eat the violation of Shehiya, and that's true just like the case of Shogeg on Shabbos. Wait just one second. Rabbi Rav Yosef the Amri Chavayu Le'atera. Ah, let me retract a little bit or reformulate what I said before. When it says my veloshna, what he's referring to, Reb Chiya, is that there's no difference between mezid and shogeg in the case of Shehiya on Erev Shabbos, which would mean, and that's what Rab and Rav Yosef agreed to, that even if he deliberately violated Shehiya on Erev Shabbos, leaving his pot on an Eino Goruf Eino Kotum, and it cooked on Shabbos, he's allowed to eat that cooking. Why is that so? Let's maintain the distinction between Mezid and Shogeg. I understand that if he was a Shogeg, you know, on Shehiya on Erev Shabbos, we're allowed to eat the tavshil, that you could permit, but in a case of a mezid, why would you permit it? So the answer is, mevashel hu dekavid maisa. When the Rabbanon instituted this kind of a penalty, this kind of prohibition, called maisa Shabbos, that's only dekavid maisa. He did an action on Shabbos to violate the Shabbos. And then we say, b'mezid lo yochal. If he did that action deliberately, knowing full well it was Shabbos, knowing full well that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, we're not allowed to benefit from that action. Aval hai, but in the case of Shehiya, the loka avid maisa, there was no action done on his part. It's purely Shehiya. In other words, he passively left the pot on the flame. Is then b'mezid nami yochal. Even if he did it deliberately, knowing full well that he's violating the Isur Shehiya on Erev Shabbos, and he actively places his pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it cooks on Shabbos, despite the fact that he's amazing, you're allowed to eat that food. Why? Because the low COVID mitzvah. So what do you mean the low covered bais? He didn't do an action. He put the pot on the fire. No, but that's not an action. That's Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, that's not called an action. The Iser is that he didn't take the pot off the fire entering into Shabbos. That's already a passive violation. And here we could be Mekil. It's not called Maisa Shabbos, even in the case of Meset. That's the opinion of Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, just the opposite, Li'isura. We're going to prohibit eating the product of this cooking because he violated the Isur Shehiyah, and even in the case of Shogeg. Rabosu, you hear this? Appellate Ploim was saying that if he cooked on Shabbos B'Shogeg, he's allowed to eat the Tavshil. But if he cooked on Shabbos B'Shogeg because B'Shogeg he left his pot on the open fire on Erev Shabbos, going to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, you're not allowed to eat that cooked food. Mevashel hu delo osi le'irume is B'Shogeg yochal. I will hide the osi le'irume. B'shogeg nami lo yochal. It's very easy for a person to trick us and fool us into thinking that, I forgot. Why did I leave my pot on an open fire? When in truth, he is deliberate about it. Irume means he will present it as if he forgot, when in fact, he deliberately left it on an open fire. There are two chidushim here in Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, two different principles that underlie his ruling. Number one, the Iser of Maisa Shabbos applies even to Shehiyah. He rejects totally the underlying premise of Rabbah and Rav Yosef that there's no Iser of Maisa Shabbos, that there's no prohibition against eating the product if it was done on if the process of Bishul was set up on Erev Shabbos. He rejects that. No, Shehiyah is also considered Ka'ovid Maisa. Why? Because he put the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos. That's called a Maisa. Number two, and here's the real bomb of Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Since he's able to fool us, and he might be tempted to fool us, because he thinks, what's the big deal? So I left my pot on Erev Shabbos on an open fire. He's mezalzel, he's very careless about it. It doesn't register on his rectus. And he's going to tell us, you know what? I was a shogeg. At the end, the whole gzera of Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos is going to fall by the wayside. So in order to impress the nature of this prohibition, of this gzera derabbanan, we are going to insist that if he left his pot on an open fire, he's not allowed to eat that cooking on Shabbos. And we're not going to ask him whether he was a mezid or a shogeg. Doesn't make any dent of a difference. So again, just to summarize, according to the Shita of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, in the case of Shia, there's absolutely no Maisa Shabbos, even if he did it b'mezid. He left it on the open fire on Erev Shabbos b'mezid, knowing full well that it's also to do such a thing. And on the other polar extreme, we have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and he's of the opinion that even if he was shachach, even if he was unintentional about leaving the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow him to eat the cooking, the pot that cooks on Shabbos. Meisvei, the Gemara now challenges Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Shachach, we have a brisa. Shachach keder al gabi kira ubishla b'Shabbos is b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. The truth is, Rabosai, this is a third shita, that the distinction between shachach and mezid that applies on Shabbos if he cooked on Shabbos applies to shehi on Erev Shabbos. But then the brisa qualifies. We're only going to say that if the pot that he put on this open fire on Erev Shabbos was not fully cooked, whether it's liquids or solids, then we're going to be machmer. Avol chamin shehuchmu called sarkom, v'tavshel shebishel called sarkom, beim beizid yochal. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's opinion is that it all depends upon whether the food was cooked already on Erev Shabbos. If it wasn't cooked on Erev Shabbos, it's also because it was cooked on Shabbos, even though he forgot and he left his pot on the open fire inadvertently.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yep.
Would suggest b'shogeg. Why does it say amazing?
He says the following. B'mezid means that he realized it was Shabbos before Shabbos, and he didn't take it off the pot. So he originally put it on the fire, forgot about it, and then he reminded himself again, and he left it on the pot. And in such a case, since it was not cooked before Shabbos, then it's awesome. So even if he never reminded himself, and for sure if he reminded himself, if the pot cooked on Shabbos, it's awesome. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction between liquids and solids. Chamed shuchmu called sarka mutarin. If he left a fully heated kettle of water on an eno garf eno katu on Erev Shabbos, then he's allowed to drink that water. Meneshim mitzamik viralo. As we said before, water, once it hits the boiling point, will just simply evaporate. So he doesn't really get any benefit by leaving it on the fire. But tavshel shabishel called sarko, awesome. Meneshim mitzamik viyafalo. Call mitzamik viyafalo. Anything that's mitzamik viyafalo. So he left a pot on the fire, and it was an open fire, and it was fully cooked, but it was solid food. And the Bryce is going to give us an example that continuously gets better and better. Kagon, kruv upulin ubasa taruf. So when you have something like cabbage or beans, they require almost endless cooking. Ubasa taruf, a certain kind of a meat that requires a great deal of cooking, asur. We call it mitztamik viralo, mutter. Unless it's mitztamik viralo. So again, we're talking about someone who left food that was fully cooked on an open fire in Erev Shabbos, and the process of bishul continues and improves the food, it's asur. You're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Ketonim miyot, tavshil shel bishul called sarko. Certainly the Braisa tells us that if it was not fully cooked, then it would be awesome. And that's even in the case of Shachach. This is against Rav Chiya bar Abba, the way that it was interpreted by Rab and Rav Yosef. Bishleim, I can understand it. L'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo kasha, why? Kan kodim gzera, kan liacher gzera. That Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak agrees that this chashash that we have to worry about the person who is marim, right? He deliberately misleads us into thinking that he was a shogeg. That was a gzera that came somewhere down the line in history. Before that gzera, then we were more permissible. So now, when the Braisa says, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that if the food was not fully cooked, then it's asur, that's already after the gzera. Because people started playing games with us, and they would say, oh yeah, we forgot about this thing, this pot, or we forgot about the law. But El Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Amri Chavayu, according to Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, that say, that we could be permissible on food that was left on an open fire and cooked on Shabbos, e kodem gzera kasha mezit. If it was before this gzera, after all, Rab and Rav Yosef say that even if he left it deliberately on an open fire, you're allowed to eat the cooked food. And here it says that bein b'mezit bein m'shogi, it's also if it cooked on Shabbos. The ili acher gzera, and if you're going to tell me that there was a later gzera in which they were afraid that shogeg is really mezid, and therefore they equated shogeg and mezid, is now ikashinami shogeg. Now we have to ask an additional question from the case of shogeg, because now you're telling me that after this gzera, even in a case of shogeg, it is going to be asur. And in a case of shogeg, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, we certainly should be matir, and yet this Braisa asks it. And the Gemara says Kasha. Now, before we close for the day, because I see it's getting late, I just want to see the Gzera, so we know what we're talking about. And then tomorrow, Mr. Shem will make a summary, an overview. My Gzera, so what was this Gzera? The Amrav Yudom, Shmuel, Amrav Abba, Amrav Kanam Arav. Betchila, you Omrim. Before the Gzera, they declared that Mama Vashel B'Shabbos B'Shogi Yochel B'Mezid Lo Yochel. Ve'u Adin L'Shocheach. Then we maintain the distinction between a shogeg and a mezid as far as the Isur Maaseh Shabbos is concerned, and the same law applies shochech on erev Shabbos if he violated the Isur Shehi and he left it on an open fire. But misha rabu mashim, all of a sudden at some point in history people started leaving their pots on an open fire on erev Shabbos b'mezid, and they did it deliberately v'omrim, but they would fool us and claim shochech shcha'a. We forgot about it. Is therefore chazru v'kansu al hashogeg atu mezid. Then the rabbis instituted an extension, and they established that if you leave a pot on an open fire on erev Shabbos, even if you were shokeach, even though you forgot about it, it's also you're not allowed to eat it, because we're afraid that if we allow you to eat it in the case of shogeg, you'll tell me it was a shogeg when really it was amazing. Paradoxically, on Shabbos itself, if someone were to cook on Shabbos, here we would trust him if he tells us he was a shogeg, because we're not choshed klal Yisrael, your average Jew, for violating bishul on Shabbos. So if he tells you it's a shogeg, oh, I forgot, then we rely on him, we're going to allow you to eat the cooked food that was cooked on Shabbos with the Maisa Bishal on Shabbos, because you're a shogeg. But we don't trust you to tell us you're a shogeg on Shehi on Erev Shabbos, because people were so much more laid back about Shehi on Erev Shabbos, and they convinced themselves that there's no room for an Isur, and therefore even if they did it deliberately, they would sell you a bill of goods, and they would say, we were shocher. So at that point, they instituted a gzera that's called Mishavrabu Amashim, and the chazru v'kansu al shocherach, even someone who forgot his pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, we will prohibit you from eating the product of your cooking. Now, b'li neder, tomorrow we're going to go back to this brisa of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to try to analyze the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and at the same time, we're going to try to understand the kasha, why the Gemara thinks that this brisa will undermine the view of Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So that's going to be a Mitzvah Hashem for tomorrow. Here towards the bottom of Daf Lamed Ches, and we're up to kasha de Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. And that is approximately, shall we say, 15 lines up before the end of the Yom. So, B'li Neder, you'll remind me where we're up to tomorrow. And I'll just take this opportunity to wish you all a Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Please. Now's the great time for questions.
I don't understand this whole last section. When somebody draws a korban, which was for some reason, nobody questioned him, and nobody thought, oh, they're bringing a korban. He says it's shogeg, but really, you know, how do we know it's shogeg? He didn't know it, he may have done it for mazes, he just tried to get out of it by bringing a korban because it was shogeg. And yet here, the rabbis are very concerned that he was actually mazes, but he was saying it was only shogeg.
So Michael, just first of all, you have to focus on these two words, Misha Rabu Hamashim. That there was some period of time in history when people were in violation of this law by the masses. It became hefkedik, you know, that people were, it's like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that there was an Isur Yichud, but then they weren't makpid on Yichud, so they extended the Isur Yichud. There are many types of gzeros which the Chazal reflect on the need of the hour. And here the need where the hour was to give very strong geshpanka, you know, power to the gzera of Shehiya. Now, that's Misharabu Amash. Now you'll ask, why did this situation come about? That's not like the case of a chatos. Chatos is a case where a Jew violated an isur kares, right? The Mishnah at the beginning of Kresus has 36 categories of chiyuv kares. We don't believe for one moment that he would do such a thing b'mezin unless we have what's called Edim and Asra. But in the absence of Edim and Asra, if he comes forward and he says, well, I inadvertently, you know, violated whatever Isur with, you know, Kares and Mises Bezdin, Beshogeg, then we believe him. You know, we have no reason to suspect that he would violate a Chiv Kares, a Chiv Misa B'mezid. That far the Jews didn't go, Chas V'shalom. But as far as Shehiya, and if you remember the logic of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, that Shehiya is a very unique kind of an Gzera Drabana. Every other Gzera Drabana requires an action to violate the Gzera. Here there is no action. You know, he's cooking on Erev Shabbos, and all of a sudden it becomes Shabbos, so to speak. So he forgot to take the pot off. So that became Misharabu Hamashim, you know, and they started saying, oh, we were shogeg and we weren't mazed. So this is very particular to the case of the Isur Shehiya because of the nature of the Isur Shehiya.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop here.